Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ignite your passion for discovery at the COSI Science Festival May 1st through the 4th. Experience 3 days packed with interactive community events featuring exhibits, live demos, and engaging conversations with experts in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And on Saturday, May 4th, join us for the free Big Science Celebration featuring over 100 exhibitors, all with interactive activities to share. And of course, there will be larger-than-life science demonstrations, live music, and more from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. just outside of COSI. Visit COSISciFest.org to learn more.
This episode of Horror Movie Talk brought to you by Twinder, the dating app for twins. Are you a pair of identical siblings that want a matching set of dates? Are you just single looking for a threesome where it's only not awkward for you? Download Twinder and start making connections with twins in your area. Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your schlubby hosts each week are Bryce Hansen, the cool collected nihilist, and David Day, a cool guy who is always cool. New theatrical releases get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. I'm Bryce Hansen.
Wow, I'm David Day. And let me tell you guys, I am so excited for today's episode. Oh my God, we got some good stuff coming over you guys. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a great episode today. Lots of stuff to cover.
It's going to be awesome.
Today, we are going to be talking about Happy Death Day to You, the latest sequel of Happy Death Day. It's out in theaters right now. It's a movie that expands the lore on the original movie and gets a fresh new take to Tree's Day that will never end. We'll start out talking about a brief, synopsis of the movie and a review. And then we give the movie a score. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where you're angry at how bad it is, 5 being perfectly average, exactly what you'd expect, and a 10 being just over the moon, an important movie.
Yeah, pretty fantastic.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Later, we'll be playing another round of Kill Count, where we list a couple movies, and David has to guess which movie has the higher death count on it. And this round will be sci-fi versus horror.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Oh, God. And then we'll do some horror movie news. Lots of stuff has happened between last week and this week in terms of new horror movies coming out and horror TV a little bit. But first, let's plug ourselves. I feel plugged.
But I'm looking over at Bryce, and he looks so uncomfortable. He's like in physical pain.
We'll get to that.
There's a part of it that brings me real joy. Like, other people just being unhappy, it's fucked up.
I mean, that's why we review horror movies, right?
Yeah, it's really fucked up, but something about it gets me going.
Before we get into it, just want to plug our website, horrormovietalk.com, and you can also find us on social media at Horror Movie Talk on Twitter and / Horror Movie Talk Podcast on Facebook. We post new episodes every Wednesday, so please subscribe and leave a review of the podcast on iTunes if you can, or whatever podcast platform you use, but we really want to get those we want to get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers on iTunes.
Yeah, pump those numbers up.
You can support the podcast, if you want, by buying or renting pretty much anything on Amazon if you click through the green button in the header of our website. That website, again, is horrormovietalk.com. Not spelled weird, just all one word, .com.
Super easy. There's really no excuse not to.
Yeah. And hey, if you want to be really generous, just bookmark that link when you click through.
Yeah, turn that
and
into
use
your...
that. Use that for your Amazon portal.
Yeah, turn. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Amazon porno. I was like, who buys porn on Amazon? It's free. Everywhere.
Probably lots of people. I don't know.
What? That's so silly. Not me. For sure, not me.
And then Shudder. Shudder.com is a streaming platform for horror movies, kind of like the Netflix of horror. And if you want to get a 30-day free trial of Shudder when you sign up, use the code HMT at checkout. HMT for Horror Movie Talk. And that's our gift to you. Otherwise, you'd get just a 7-day free trial. But don't do that. You'd be a schmuck.
That'd be stupid.
Use our code. Thanks again for listening. Now, let's get into this show. So, first of all, we don't usually do, like, the whole... I know a lot of people complain about podcasts like ours that they spend a lot of time talking about their week and their personal life.
Well, they don't complain about ours because we don't do that quite so much.
We would never do that, except maybe today, because David really wanted to talk about my constipation.
It's the funniest thing there is. I mean, apart from maybe diarrhea, you have the funniest issue.
I'll tell you what.
Hot poop talk.
It doesn't feel...
Poop talk, yeah?
Does not feel humorous. It feels really dire.
Yeah, dire.
I just want it to end.
Tell me about it. Tell me what it feels like in your tum-tum.
So, you know how you're not aware of your intestines?
Oh, all the time I'm not aware of them.
Just not, you know, on like a
logical level yeah,
that they exist.
Right.
And you've seen diagrams of them. I feel like I have an intimate knowledge of my intestines right now.
Wow.
Because I have a slow-moving mass.
So to kick this story off, Bright, I come in here, and he's like, he's just like, and then he's like, you remember last week when we recorded last? I've been constipated since before then.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus. Fuck. That's over 7 days.
Yeah, it's miserable.
So.
And I've taken some milk of magnesia, and like the most I get is like a couple really shardy little cupfuls of shit.
This is really...
It's just the worst.
See, so this is really what this is... This speaks to the stubbornness of a man and unwillingness to get help or ask for directions. And to compound, to add to that, Bryce is not someone to share typically anyway, and he's like Norwegian-ish. So yeah. There's just a lot of stuff working against him here. And
it feels like such a stupid thing to go to the doctor for.
I can't poop.
can you make me poop, please?
Yeah, is it time for digital extraction?
Oh God,
yeah. Are we gonna have to go? Are you, Bobby Brown on you?
Are you volunteering?
Am I gonna have to go all Bobby Brown on you?
Bobby hey, Brown,
isn't he the guy who was married to Whitney Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. He, on a famous episode of whatever, show they had, she was constipated and he reached in there and just helped her out, you know?
Man, that is a love for the ages.
That's what everybody says. It's like, damn.
Man.
Hey there, people. I'm Bobby Brown. Yeah. So Bryce can't make a doo-doo. So his, anything you hear today... Just put pass that through the filter of this is a sick man.
If you hear grunting or just like, and it
doesn't help that we record every episode naked.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean it could come at any time. Mm-mm. So this episode I'm just squatting over a bucket.
Yeah, and to add to the awkwardness of it, I went to get coffee to bring coffee here for Bryce and myself. Before the show, and you know how you go to a coffee place now and they're like, hey, how's your day? What are you doing? Hey, you doing anything fun? I was just like, I need coffee. Why are you talking to me? I hate it when they do that. Number one, don't fucking, why are you smiling at me? Just get me coffee. Just hand it to me. Don't talk me up. Anyway, so she's like, you doing anything fun? I was like, no. No. She's like, where are you going after this? I was like, I didn't want to say doing a podcast. So I was like, home to my newborn baby and my wife. And she's like, no, is this cup for your wife? I was like, yeah. And then she writes on top of Bryce's cup, number one mom. So Bryce actually stole a cup of coffee from my sick pregnant or my sick newly non-pregnant wife. newly non-pregnant.
Yeah. Okay, let's get in to the episode.
Yeah, that's enough of us.
Yeah.
Okay, please.
Go on the post for this episode and comment if you like hot poop talk.
Look, 5 minutes of personal talk every once in a while, not a big deal.
There's personal talk, and then there's...
We've poop. Run the numbers. We know our audience. They like poop.
Okay. So we went and saw Happy Death Day to You, and while it maintained the fun of the first movie, it was probably a little overambitious.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Here is the trailer for Happy Death Day to You.
Dude, help. I am tripping right now. I feel like I've totally lived through this day already.
Deja vu?
Yes.
The day reset when you died, right?
Yeah.
I might be able to help with that. I died 11 times. I was stuck reliving the same day over and over again until someone wearing a baby mask murdered me on the night of my birthday. Turns out it was my roommate, Lori. I kicked her crazy ass out a window and killed her, which broke the loop. But now I'm living the better version of my life.
You okay?
No.
Oh, hey. You're up. I folded your pants for you.
No way.
Who did you hit that or what?
I don't believe this. It's Monday the 18th again!
Go.
Stop global warming.
Go. Go.
I'm dead, I'm dead! Go. I thought it ended the loop, but I'm back. Oh my god. Everything's different. This time, it's coming after all of us.
If you don't reset the day and try again, they're dead for good, aren't they?
So I'm gonna have to die over and over again to save all of you.
I mean, I guess you could just reset the day yourself.
Genius idea. Okay, let's do this. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. If I don't stop the killer, more people will die. Failure's not an option. Focus, man. My money on my mind. Got a meal out the deal and I'm still in the grind. I show this. I'm literally dying to figure this out. A girl from Woody, they buy
and they ready to go. Okay, you're up.
I'm so done with this shit. My show won't need it. I'm on borrowed time here. Get all my fancy things. What the hell? All right, let's see what you got. We're in crisis mode, Tree. Who's gonna pledge Kappa now that we have a death curse?
I have two or three immediate comments on that trailer. Do you mind if I...
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, are we really at a place in time where it's acceptable to name a main character Tree?
Yeah.
Okay, number two... There is not that that trailer misrepresents this movie in such an incredible way by playing that song, which is a fucking great song. I don't care who you are. You hear that 50 Cent song, and you're like, you're bumping your head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, mm-hmm. All right. And I don't recall one little bit of that song
no,
in the movie.
It was not in the movie
at all. And yeah. So very upset about that. And number three takeaway is, my goodness, is she a beautiful girl, woman, creature.
Yeah.
She is very pretty.
Yeah, Jessica Roth is the standout part of these movies.
Oh, boy, man. And she's a good actress, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that. They don't use that song in the movie at all.
Mm-mm.
Not even in, like, fun parts or anything.
No, I believe it... you would know. You watched the first one. Did they use it as her alarm clock in the first one?
Nope. It was the same alarm clock. It was the exact
God
same like
damn it.
Morning.
Yeah, the song really works for me and for the trailer, and I realize that it's expensive to license these sorts of things, and maybe it costs less to just put it in the trailer than in the movie, but...
Yeah, the trailer also kind of misrepresents what the plot is, and you can either take it in one of two ways. It's like false advertising, or it's like does not give away any of the secrets of the movie.
Yeah, it's convenient that... It's convenient that it can very conveniently hide behind that.
Yeah, I think I probably would have liked the movie that they showed in the trailer a little better.
Yeah, same here. So what can you recall what the movie was that they showed in the trailer?
Well, one of the things was basically like, the killer isn't just coming after me, he's coming after all of us.
Right.
And I have to relive this day to make sure that none of us die.
Right.
As opposed to just me. So that's how it seemed like it was expanding the concept of there's some wrinkle in this, something's going on, it's got a duplicate Asian kid in it. Okay, we've got like different time streams or something. Sorry about that notification. But really, it really doesn't do that in the movie.
The movie isn't that at all.
Yeah. And we'll get into that more in the spoilers, but first a little synopsis. Oh, first of all, Happy Death Day to You can be found in theaters right now. It came out on February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day.
Times.
Valentine's. Happy Valentine's! The film starts out following Ryan Phan, played by Fai Vu, on the morning after the events in the first film. Ryan was only a bit part in the original Happy Death Day, but plays a much more important role in the plot this time around. In a welcome bait and switch, though, after rerunning Ryan's Day a couple times, the plot switches focus back to the original protagonist of Happy Death Day, Tree Gelbman, played by the talented and beautiful Jessica Roth.
Talented.
If you're not familiar with the premise of the original, it is simply a horror version of Groundhog Day. I mean, that's pretty much as simple as you can go. It's a slasher, except she relives the day of her murder over and over again until she solves the mystery of who her killer is. This sequel throws in a wrinkle this time because despite being the same day, Tree is now in a different dimension, so not everything is the same. She's got to refigure out some stuff. Happy Death Day to You maintains the fun and playful atmosphere of the original, but basically switches genres. It's much less of a horror movie and more of a sci-fi comedy, a la Back to the Future. In trying to keep the premise fresh, they end up overextending, and there are multiple loose ends and skimmed over plot points that make this movie much less cohesive and tight as the first movie. Happy Death Day to You is more enjoyable than the average movie, nonetheless, and that is thanks to the performance of Jessica Roth and pretty good writing.
Yeah, you know, in good writing, good direction. I mean, decent writing, decent direction, I should say. The atmosphere of the movie does a lot for it. It's fun. It's light. It's not, but it is. I still haven't seen the first one, and you mentioned that the first one was much more of a horror movie. Like it had scares in it. It had tension in it. This kind of an action movie almost. I mean, how would you compare the two?
I mean, a huge element of the first movie was this killer, and she keeps trying to like outsmart him. But she would always get killed nonetheless. And so there were several scenes of, you know, just your generic slasher scenes of being chased or, you know, the dramatic irony of seeing the killer and she can't see him. There's a lot more tension there. But pretty quickly, once she figures out what's going on, it is pretty lighthearted and fun. Like this movie is.
Yeah.
And, but it's also the big part of it was the element of the mystery and trying to unravel what was going on over and over again and getting frustrated with that.
What score, just kind of off the cuff, unofficial, what score would you give the first one?
First one, I'd give like an 8.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, 8. The first one, the things that were so much better about it is that the concept was like just an entirely contained unit. It was really, really well executed. It was tight. The pacing was perfect. It never like lost my attention and never made me think like, all right, where are we going with this? Like, can we make more movement or anything? Like, it stayed very fresh throughout. And her performance was, I mean, there's a lot more fun stuff and character development with Tree, because she started out as just a very stereotypical mean girl, just a real bitch, and ended like realizing like, oh, this is really hard because everyone wants to kill me
because
oh, okay. I'm a huge bitch. And so she begins like
being nice,
understanding herself and being nicer and like helping,
going full Groundhog's Day with it.
Yeah, going full Groundhog's Day, and then, you know, ends up solving the case. And then this trailer for the sequel pretty much gives away the ending.
So it should be noted that if you want to watch the first one, which Bryce just gave an 8, I believe he watched it fresh last week, I think you can get it for $1 on YouTube right now.
Yeah, it was $1 when I rented it.
So,
on YouTube or Google Play. I don't know if it's that now, but I wouldn't expect it would be that much more.
Yeah,
I'm sure they want to get people to watch it, so they'll go see the sequel.
So with that being said, now what would you give the second one? Happy Death Day to you.
I'm giving it what did I write down? A 6 out of 10.
You know, I've been playing with this score for this for a while, ever since we watched it on Wednesday. And I gotta agree with you. It just keeps coming back to a 6 for me. Now, that being said, it's a really fun 6. It's just hard to take it very seriously, and it doesn't really go anywhere that's that interesting.
Yeah, The Prodigy last week I gave a 5, and I'd say like it's a low 5. It's like the floor of 5, and this is more on the higher end of a 6.
Yep, I almost went low 7, but it's really not a 7.
Yeah. I mean, it's very much like, you know, it's one of those movies that feels like factory work, but the people in the factory really love their job.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's dead on. Yeah.
As opposed to Prodigy, which is just literally just factory work.
Right. There's, sir, can I have some more, please? Factory. And this is not that.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, the elves at the North Pole factory work. And this is that.
Right.
This is elves at the North Pole
right.
factory work.
And I mean, a certain element of that is just, it is a sequel. And
yeah.
The first one could stand alone very easily. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real reason to do a sequel to the first one.
Yeah.
But.
Yes, there is, because.
Well, yeah.
Jessica Roth is pretty.
So, let's get into.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
So, first thing to talk about, and we've already touched on it a little bit. Jessica Roth is real fun to watch.
She is delightful.
Not only is she just very, I mean, throughout the movie watching experience in the theater, David was just wincing with how beautiful she was. Just like, ugh.
It's amazing. It's like, you know, it's like everybody knows those people who, when they walk into the room, it just gets lighter. And
yeah.
She can do that on screen. Like, it doesn't even take her actual presence to, like, make everybody go, oh, well, this is nicer now. This room feels mm-hmm. breezy.
Yeah.
She's just beautiful and fun and vivacious. And I would like to see her in more movies.
Yeah. I will say one thing, and this is like borderline, you know, chauvinist territory, but the one difference between the last movie and this one is that she smiled a lot more in the last movie. There's a lot more smiling in it. So I was like, I just through the sequel, I was like, "Hun, you need to smile more."
Jesus Christ!
Because like it really does brighten it. And it's like, holy cow! I just want to,
sweetie. Could you just give when you hand me this coffee? Could it be with a smile, please?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Could you ask me how my day was and what I'm going to do? Thanks.
So, but also she's just a really great actress and
yeah.
really great comedic timing and, not above, you know, making herself look ridiculous to service the humor.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised I haven't seen her in more stuff.
Yeah. I mean, she's still young. I mean,
was this an A24 film?
No, this is a Blumhouse.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I know Jason Blumhouse. He was on Twitter and he was posting how the Rotten Tomato score like went up a couple. It was like 61 and then went up to like 60, like 5 or 8 or something like that. And he's like, it's moving up. It's like it's fresh, but you know.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's on the lower side, but I'll take it. It's a sequel. It's harder to do with sequels, which is like...
Yeah, oh, he's referencing... he's talking about this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Jessica Roth is... Oh, my God, my bowels.
What if Jessica Roth was Googling herself, found our review... And then listens, and she's like, I wonder what they have to say about me. Jessica Roth, my bowels.
Jessica Roth, if you are listening, hit me up at bryce@horrormovietalk.com. We'd love to have you as a guest.
We would.
We would fly you. I would personally fly you out.
Well, you've heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. If you know Jessica Roth...
Tweet at her.
87. She was born in 87, so she's like 30.
Yeah.
She's
like 32.
I would have thought she would have been in her 20s.
Yeah, she looks like she's about 20.
Yeah, so she was in La La Land, too. She was Allison.
Oh, I made it a point not to see
that. Sorry, Alexia in La La Land.
I made it a point not to see La La Land. Everybody's like, do you like musicals? It's like, no.
Do you just not like experiencing the delight of dance and song?
No, but
I
mean,
guess not.
I really fucking hate it, actually. It bothers me to my core to watch musicals. It feels like restless leg syndrome in my head.
I remember when I, you guys all know, David is a huge Simpsons fan, and one of the episodes of The Simpsons is the musical episode, and how they intro it, all the clips of the musical segments in The Simpsons, it's a clip show, is they are watching Paint Your Wagon. And David was like, ha-ha, wasn't that a funny bit that they did Paint Your Wagon? And
what a silly idea,
yeah.
Naming a musical Paint Your Wagon.
And starring Clint Eastwood and like, what's his name? Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Lee Marvin in a musical. What a great bit.
I was like, David, you realize that that was an actual musical.
Blew my mind.
David did not know, and maybe you don't know, that there was an actual musical that was put out in the 60s, a movie musical called Paint Your Wagon, and it was starring Clint Eastwood, and Lee Marvin. If you don't know who Lee Marvin is, you do. And when you see him, he's like the old grizzled Western guy.
The guy who would spit on a little kid. Like,
yeah, he was
in
he
real
was,
life.
He was Liberty Valance, and who shot Liberty Valance? He was like the bad dude. And both of them are singing their hearts out.
It is hot shit. It's so goofy. I couldn't believe, like, the weirdest part of the whole thing is the Simpsons,
the song that they used in the Simpsons of Paint Your Wagon doesn't exist in Paint Your Wagon, but it's not that far off.
It's very similar.
Oh, gotta paint your wagon, gotta paint it good.
Gonna use oil-based paint. Gonna paint your wagon, gonna paint it fine. Gonna use oil-based paint because the wood is pine. Ponderosa pine.
Anyways, so you didn't... If you want to see more of Jessica Roth, you can go check out La La Land. I mean, you gotta weigh your hatred of musicals against your love of Jessica Roth, I guess. Right. But yeah, she should be in more stuff, especially comedies. Holy cow.
Yeah, she has really good timing. She's just a good actress.
Can you imagine if Knocked Up was starring Jessica Roth instead of, what's her name? Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl. Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Man, that would have been awesome.
That would have been great. Yeah, Katherine.
Of course, she would have been like 20, like 19 at the time. So that would probably be a little weird.
Things work themselves out quite nicely with Katherine Heigl, though. Like, she doesn't work anymore.
And I even like Katherine Heigl. I was just like, oh, man, why do you keep shooting yourself in the foot?
Yeah. She made a lot of poor decisions.
Yeah. I mean, I was a big fan of Grey's Anatomy. I don't know if you know that about me.
I didn't know that about you.
It's a good show. I'll admit it. That was one of the shows that I'd watch with my mom.
Like, yeah.
There's a couple shows that, like, I had a mutual... like thing with my mom about, and so if I was over there, we'd watch it if it was on.
Yeah,
there was Grey's Anatomy, there was Ally McBeal, and Quantum Leap, which I still maintain all of those are great shows.
Ally McBeal, her face just messes with my mind.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
it's
a little weird. That show, I think that show had, I think even publicly, there it was known that there was issues with eating disorders on that show.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, no, that was a big, that was like a TV Guide hot take every week. Like, they would just be like, what's next for her food problems?
Yeah, there was, because it was...
Do you think she was just really constipated?
Oh, man, probably. I don't want to eat anymore. I'm just like, it's just back. It's like a...
You look uncomfortable in your skin.
It's like, I imagine inside my intestines right now, there's like a
Go
little...
On.
There's a little chef making flapjacks and just like stacking them up. And then I'm just out here saying like, no more.
No just, more flapjacks.
I can't take all those flapjacks.
This is like when...
Let's get rid of some of those. Just stop cooking the flapjacks.
This is like when Homer goes to hell and they try to torture him by force feeding him donuts. Mm-hmm. He's like, more.
Help.
But you don't say more. You say stop.
I say stop. Stop the madness. Okay. So Jessica Roth is great. The pacing at the beginning of the movie was quick, and it set up the plot well. The pacing of this movie at the beginning was very close to what the first movie was.
I was going to say, like, the first quarter to a third of this movie was a solid 7. Like, it was
right.
It was fun and fast and funny, and then it just got bogged down and took too long and then became a weird thing, and then at the last... two-thirds were kind of brought it down.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of suffers to a small effect, like the Lost syndrome of, let's create a lot of mystery in the beginning and lots of things that, like, need explaining later. And then once we get to the point where we need to explain them, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just,
Here's this thing. We just explain... Hey, it wraps it up.
We're going to play a
don't
Trump.
Worry, don't.
We're going to play a wild card, and everything will be done.
Yeah, I mean, the middle part of the movie, and even towards the end, it kind of dragged.
Yeah.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Not too much. It wasn't like checking my watch too much, but I was really asking myself questions like, when are they going to connect back to the beginning? Like, there are several questions, and we'll go over some of the loose ends that were in this movie, but there are several questions that I had throughout the movie that never got answered. And I was constantly thinking, like, when are they going to get to the stuff that ties it back to the issues related to the beginning? And they don't.
There's a brutal death metal song that I really love by a band called Dying Fetus called Wrong One to Fuck With. And Bryce is the wrong one to fuck with if you're going to if you're going to mess around with continuity in your movie, or you're not going to answer some questions. There are plenty of people who that'll fly just fine with, and they'll like, they'll be like, yeah, but I had a good time at Transformers 2. And Bryce will be like, no. And
we came out of Happy Death Day to You, and David was like that was great, just like really great. And I was like,
I didn't say it was really great.
Like you were on a high just from seeing Jessica, and I was like, yeah, I had a couple questions. And he's like, really? I mean, there's some continuity stuff, I'm sure, because they're dealing with time travel. And then I lay out my list of like two or three questions that are just very, very loose ends.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's not that I didn't look. It's okay. Great is such a broad spectrum thing to say.
Right.
It was a fun, what I meant was it was a fun time.
Yeah.
And it didn't make me angry, because we just got done seeing The Prodigy, and I wanted to hate The Prodigy more. Like, I was so angry at it, because it feels like a waste of your time to see a movie that's just not entertaining at all. And at least this movie was entertaining.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that being said, it's not the best.
Yeah.
So.
Before we talk about unanswered questions, what genre would you define this movie? Because it was definitely not horror.
Time travel, like you know,
I put down sci-fi comedy.
I guess it's definitely a comedy. And but you know that there is a slight subgenre surrounding time travel, where it's just like, where every movie involving time travel that's not really up to par, not really good at dealing with the technicalities of time travel, they tend to fall into this little trap of like just a bunch of little storylines that don't go anywhere exactly. Right. It's kind of action-y in some points. It's kind of dark and sad at some points. It's kind of fun and fast in other points. And, but yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it follows the formula of the first one very closely until at a certain point they decide as a group that Tree should just start killing herself to make this go quicker. You know, instead of waiting for the killer to kill her, she should just commit suicide so that they can keep making progress on their research.
Yeah. And at one point they were like, okay, just go ahead and take off your clothes and kill yourself that way.
In the first movie, there was a scene where she's like re-experiencing the day, and she just decides to go out and walk the commons just naked.
Naked or in her underwear? Because in this
movie, it was naked.
Because in this movie, it was in her underwear.
Yeah, this one of the best deaths is she jumped out of a plane in a bikini, and then it cuts to her love interest and one of her dorm mates making out, and she falls in front of the camera, flipping it off, giving the double fuck you to the camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is pretty great. But yeah, and it communicates that Tree is just like, at a certain point, she's just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, with dying over and over again. But yeah, that's where it diverges, because once she starts killing herself, the setup for that is Ryan, the guy that we start out with, has some kind of science project, and has to do with quantum mechanics, quantum physics. They use a lot of science talk that doesn't you know, have any basis in reality. And it glows and blows up, and that's what causes the time loop.
The old glow and blow.
And the plot of the movie is they need to input all these different algorithms to find out the right one, and they have to, you know, find out where all the mistakes are in these algorithms. So since the only connecting tissue with, you know, the past failed algorithms is Tree, because she's, you know, gets reincarnated every day, she has to memorize all the progress and tell it to the team. To make it go quicker, she just kills herself. So at that point, when she starts killing herself, then the killer element of it, or the horror element, is just completely cut out.
Almost like, gone entirely.
Yeah. It's gone entirely until, like, the third act, when they, like, speedily wrap it up. They're like, oh, yeah, here's who the killer is. It's not the same one as the first one, but this is the circumstances, and let's move on. And then it wraps up the sci-fi comedy part of it after that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it goes very much the sci-fi comedy route. And there's a lot of, like, dramatic stuff and rom-com elements throughout, because one of the elements is that somehow Tree gets put into a different dimension, so she's living the same day, but it's not quite the same, and there's a couple things different. But mainly, her new love interest is dating another girl and isn't available to her. And the other thing is that her mom is still alive.
Yeah.
And the killer isn't the same killer, and I guess really they're not even – the killer isn't even really out to kill her in the alternate dimension either.
But if she's in another dimension, is, like, shouldn't she be there too? Shouldn't she also be there?
Don't worry.
Shouldn't there be two of her? The alternate dimension her?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
So the whole difference that they focus on is that her love interest that she ends up with having from the first movie is not available because he's dating someone else. But her mother is alive, which created a lot of trauma in her life. And so it's like,
her mother being dead created the trauma.
Yeah. And the question is, at a certain point, does she want to close this time loop and stay in this alternate dimension where her mother is alive? Or does she want to go back to her dimension where her mother is dead so she can date this guy?
Yeah. Is love going to win out, or is love going to win out?
So this is one of the questions I had. One of the things that's held over from the first movie, it doesn't quite make sense. Because she says, she points out that she died 11 times in the first movie. And she didn't even really start noticing this guy whose dorm she woke up in until, like, well into the experience. And then she finds out that...
Of the first movie.
And she eventually finds out that he isn't, like, a rapey guy that took advantage of her while she was drunk.
What?
That he was just a nice guy that wanted to make sure she was safe and was a perfect gentleman. And so she's like, oh, you didn't want to rape me? Well, I'm in love. And she enlists his help and keeps telling him the same thing, that, you know, she's stuck in a time loop and he's really helpful and he's a nice guy. And so over the course of 11 deaths, which equates 11 days, she falls in love with this guy. And then when the time loop is wrapped up, she's, you know, able to, you know, express her love, and he's, like, you know, going to mount her in the last Christ. Scene. And that's where we open up this film.
Okay. Mount her.
So here's, if you pull back and look at the realities of this, this means that she has known this guy for about a week, little over a week.
Same day over and over.
Same week. Day over and over. But he has only known her for really one day.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of on shaky ground for a relationship? Like, is that something that you would really be a dilemma of, like, I kind of like this new guy, or I could have my mom back? there's a real Sophie's choice here. To me, it's pretty obvious. Like, take my mom back, right? Wouldn't you rather have your mom in your life?
Okay, but yes, but let's say the person waking up in your bed was Jessica Roth. Let's reverse these tables.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, your mom or Jessica Roth?
Hmm.
Giving it a real thought. I'm sorry, Bryce's mom. I don't mean to make him choose like this. This is not a fair scenario.
This is not... I mean, it's not the boy that would be making the choice. If the boy was making the choice, yeah, it would be a lot harder choice. But this is Jessica. This is Tree making the choice.
Yeah.
And so she's like, Wayne, like, do I try out, like, you know, maybe this guy can fuck him a couple times and, like, develop this into a thing and like, have a real relationship with him? Or I could have my mom around for, like, my first kid and my wedding and you know, teaching me how to be a good woman and you know, enjoy all the
not to
fun
mention,
times that
I mean,
we've had.
The real chink in this that that's being glossed over is with her mom back, she could still just wait for this guy to break up with whoever he's with.
Yeah,
because he's there.
Yeah.
It's not like he's off the table. He's just off the table right now.
Right. And then the other thing that they don't, this is another loose end that I didn't write down, but was really a big part. He's dating the head of the sorority, but she also finds out that she's cheating on him.
Right. It's a hole in one.
He's dating someone, but she's like a colossal bitch and a cheater. So how long is that going to last?
Not long.
Like,
not long, I bet.
And if you could, like, get him in a day with just your personality and explaining that you're in a Groundhog Day scenario and he's, like, all in on you, I mean, let's be honest, I'd be all in, too. If Jessica Roth woke up on my couch and was like, hey, I'm reliving the entire day over and over again, like Groundhog Day, I would think to myself, this lady is crazy, but I'm on board.
Yeah, this is my kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, a couple...
you know the thing that...
Like, the dilemma that they really focused on doesn't seem like a dilemma, and where she ends up, she decides to go back to the original timeline and, you know, kill her mom in this.
Essentially.
And then the other part that they use is like, oh, because she has several years, you know, of memory that's not hers. She'd be living someone else's life, even though like 90% of it is the exact same.
Right.
It's like,
so
you could just say like, oh yeah, I'm a little forgetful.
Yeah, who am I?
Or just like, oh yeah, I fell over and knocked my head. Like, I can't remember stuff so well. Can you tell me again what we did last year?
Yeah. You know the part about, so Groundhog's Day technically is a much darker movie than this.
Yeah, that's true.
But neither of them are as dark as what Groundhog's Day was originally meant to be, which is like woefully, like dreadfully, very introspective and looking at the human condition.
Well, there was a disagreement between Bill Murray and the writer. What's his name? Venkman? No, Egon.
Dan Aykroyd.
No, Egon. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember his name. Egon, though. Yes.
Yeah, Egon, the writer. He was in
Ghostbusters
and
Secret of the Ooze. Oh wait, no, yeah. That was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too.
Anyways, he was the writer, and they collaborated on all of their like most successful all the successful movies
Stripes.
Together up to yeah Stripes up to this movie, and they had a huge disagreement, and Bill Murray wanted it to be much more psychological and like introspective and more like, you know, Lost in Translation territory,
right?
And Egon, you know, the actor that plays Egon wanted it to be, you know,
what it is.
Yeah, what it is. A little bit funnier. And, yeah, they had a big separation because of it. They didn't collaborate anymore after that.
So where I'm going with this is you could have gone so dark with this, or at least gone a lot darker with this, mm-hmm. and had it be... It would not be the same film, but it's interesting to me to think about. So when you get into this, essentially the montage of killing yourself, that's so fucking dark in real life, yeah. where you're just intentionally offing yourself over and over again because you know you get to come back. But
when it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
A few of those times, it's not going to work out. It's not going to be a clean death.
She chose some deaths that just were, I would not have chosen.
Right.
Electrocuting yourself? That doesn't seem like that's the best way Mm-mm. to go.
No. Even jumping out of a plane isn't great.
There's no, that's the one that I would agree with.
There's people who bounce plenty. So like Peggy Hill. Look at Peggy Hill, season 3, I think. She falls out of a plane, cliffhanger, season 3, season 4. She's still alive and keeps going for many seasons after that. And I'm just saying, if they had done something where she was hanging in there, like waiting for someone to find her for 3 or 4 days, this movie would be a 9.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think you'd just like, I mean, what would I choose? I would choose the falling out of the plane thing. I would totally do that.
If it turned into 127 hours, I would like that too.
Yeah. I mean, Anyways, okay, let's get into the unanswered questions. I have a little list here. Okay. One of them is a problem that's held over from the original movie. And the original movie has a concept that she has limited lives because some of the trauma from being killed is held over in her body. Like she faints one time when she wakes up, and they like go to the doctor and they're like, hey, you got a bunch of scar tissue. Like, it seems like you've been stabbed in the gut like 11 times.
So this is like a fuel gauge going more and more empty.
Yeah. So it's like, it's adding to the tension because it's saying it's not like Groundhog Day, though, because she is getting weaker and weaker from living this day over and over again, and who knows what's going to happen, you know, if it clicks down. And then it just, the other days just go on, and that's not a problem ever again.
Which, that concept is, to me, less effective than the concept in Groundhog's Day. The idea that you're infinite and unending, and you only get to experience the same day over and over again is far more horrible than eventually being done with this. That's eventually being done with this means, okay, finally, maybe I can just be done with it.
Right.
But, yeah.
So they bring that over from the original movie. And one of the times that she wakes up, she's like in the whole like, oh, yeah, I'm so weak, I got to go to the doctor thing. But I mean, she's been killing herself over and over and over and over again, and it's still not quite a problem. It's just when it's convenient they use it to get her to the hospital
yeah
for plot reasons
for plot
The second problem is this movie starts out
very nice,
and it has a second Ryan.
That's right.
In the beginning,
yeah,
the killer is another Ryan that's trying to kill Ryan.
Yeah,
because he's trying to stop Ryan from doing something bad.
Ryan, no.
And the only way to stop him is to kill himself.
Right. With himself.
Couple questions. Number one, why does he have to kill him? Why can't you just go, hey, look at my face, I'm you.
Look at how impressive this thing that's happening right now is. Yeah. There's two of you.
I bet you're wondering why you are here looking at yourself.
Maybe you might ask how this happened.
Well, let me explain, as a scientist, what happened and why, what you have to do to keep this from happening. And then stop it. So that's question number one. Why is the answer killing himself? And then the second question is, what was that all about? You would expect it to explain why Ryan had to be sent back to stop him.
You mean you wanted closure on that anecdote?
Yeah.
Instead of nothing?
And I realized as I was writing the outline for this episode, like, that's the second day when that happens.
Right.
And we never get back to the second day. We're reliving the first day from Happy Death Day over and over and over again.
Weird.
And then they solve the time loop during the first day, and then it's over.
And then they're on the second day.
Yeah, so it feels like a real lost opportunity and a loose end to not, like, second act could have been, we solved it. We solved the time loop, and then you get to the second day, and something bad still happens. And so you have to figure out how to stop the second day from happening. So you got to send Ryan to this, you know, another dimension to stop it.
It's really
to explain it. And they never do that.
It's really interesting how your mind works, because you really latch on to everything that happens. Like, you're following everything with a very sharp, critical mind. And for me, like, there's just a part of my brain that shuts off when they get, you know, when I detect Back to the Future-esque shit, I just go, I'm on for the ride. Here we go. I don't care. Whatever. Like, it's just, there's just nothing, no part of this is going to make sense. So it's almost like listening to, it's like my wife's voice just morphs into the background noise after a while. And I just hear, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element, I understand, like, and I don't want to be that guy that's like,
I just don't.
Well, actually, if he was in a different time loop, this would happen. Like, what happened with this thing?
He strikes Scratchy's seventh rib two times and produces two totally different tones each consecutive time. How do you explain that?
So, I don't want to be that guy, but in terms of watching a movie, I'm thinking about the plot and what's set up in the beginning and whether there's payoff for it.
Right.
And
I'm just saying,
there's not. So I mean, there's the concept of, if in the first act above the mantle you have a gun hanging on the mantle in the scene, by the second act that gun should be shot. Don't put something in the movie if there's no reason.
Right.
To serve the story.
Right. I'm just saying, it's impressive to me that you're able to do it. Because even when I try to do it, I don't do it that well. Like,
I mean, for me, it's like I see things and I predict, what is the screenwriter going to do with this material? Because you can make just a cookie cutter movie like The Prodigy, and you can just set up like expectations and execute on them just like millions of other stories. And the delight I get is if there's payoff, but not in the way that I expected.
Right.
Like, that's a great movie.
Do you suppose there's a person in the writer's room like you who's like, I mean, obviously not in this writer's room, who's like, hey guys, you know, he's kind of like the engineer who gets put with the sales guy to keep the sales guy from making promises that his ass can't check, writing checks his ass can't cash. And do you suppose there's that guy in some movies like that are well crafted, and there aren't, that guy is just bad or not as good in movies that don't pull it off as well?
I think a lot of people are on movies that are not only just the writer's room, but the director, the actors. They'll read the script. That's why, like, the writer himself is usually not the least important person in Hollywood, because their script gets rewritten over and over again during shooting. And then even in editing, like, if they screen a movie and it comes back, you know, just some schmuck from the audience is like, I didn't like that they did this.
It was too scary.
I didn't like it. And then they'll be like, oh, well, the audience doesn't like this part. Let's just cut it out. And then they cut out, like, an essential piece of the plot.
Like what happened with Freddy Got Fingered, where they where now it doesn't make any sense at all, because they cut out the gay uncle. So now the whole movie is disjointed, and you can't barely tell what's happening.
And it would have been a masterpiece with that in it.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's a lot happened with this movie, you know, after it was shot. I think there's lots of stuff moved around and stuff cut in and cut out. And who knows? But that one was like, wow, this seems like a really big deal, since you show it in the trailer and you set it up in the very first thing, that there's these two Ryans and one of them's trying to kill the other. Like, well, how did that happen? What caused that to happen? Well, you're never told.
Yeah.
So the last one is that when they're wrapping up the killer part of it in the new dimension, it's like, the killer is actually this professor doctor that's trying to hide this affair that he's having. And so he uses the same technique that the killer in the original movie had, was to frame it with this serial killer, but it was actually him. And so they're all, like, standing in a group, like in I think it was like kind of a Mexican standoff kind of thing. And, like, we've solved it. And then all of a sudden, his wife comes in and shoots someone. And is like, ha ha.
Gotcha.
The wife's in on it, too. And then the doctor kills the wife. And it makes no sense.
It was so tertiary.
Because it was, the professor was killing his student that he was having an affair with to keep it from his wife. But his wife knows, and her way of solving it is to kill the girl so that they can stay together.
Bryce, why don't you just go take a shit?
I mean, oh, God, that was mean.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense.
It was such a throwaway part of the movie.
Yeah.
And there was no lead up.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There was no payout, and it didn't matter at all. Like, it was just like, whatever.
Right.
There it is.
Yeah, because they cut out that as an essential part of the plot. It was just, you're in a different dimension now. Just different people are being killed.
Roll with it!
Yeah. All right, so final recommendations for Happy Death Day to you. I think a lot of people would like this.
But I agree.
Especially if you like the first one, you'll still like this one. It's not, I mean, it's not as good. It's not as tight, but it's still got a lot of the elements that made the first one enjoyable. It's very light on horror, so if you're going in for a slasher, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, this is not very high and tight. This is probably something...
This is low and loose.
Low and loose. This is something that everyone can have a fun time with. If you're scared of horror movies and don't like scares, this is fabulous. This is basically a date movie or a fun popcorn movie that you can, you know, you can look at a beautiful girl and a couple of beautiful guys and be happy. Happy that you spent some money and went out and had a good time.
Mm-hmm. But really, if I were to give a recommendation, if you haven't seen the first one, just watch that one.
Like, oh, there you
go. It's a dollar on YouTube to rent.
Yeah.
It's a really enjoyable movie. And after you watch it, you'll probably want to see this one, too.
I got to watch that, then.
Yeah. I mean, I think I had spoiled the original one from a YouTube clip. Like, I had watched the ending of it just to inform for this episode that I knew was coming up. So I already knew who, like, the killer was and what was going to happen. But it was still really enjoyable to watch.
Well, don't spoil it for me.
All right. Well, it spoiled it in this movie. I guess you weren't paying attention.
I understand who it was, but I don't want to understand how it happened or how it came to be.
Okay, time for... Okay, let's do... should we do horror movie news first or the game?
I don't know. Let's do horror movie news first.
Okay. Oh, God.
Just at
horror movie news.
Horror movie news.
This just in.
This just in. Nothing coming out.
I'm not sure if you noticed, because I think we were talking when this trailer came out, but a new trailer for a movie called Ma was at the beginning of Happy Death Day to You.
No, I did not. I did not.
It looks bad.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right.
It Part 2 got a test screening and is reportedly almost three hours long.
Oh, my God.
So an anonymous viewer tweeted, at viewer anon tweeted, It Chapter 2 is almost 3 hours long, pretty good, but still needs work. The first is better. And that's all I'm saying, lest WB sue me into an early grave. So... Looks like it was an early cut, so I'm sure there's lots of stuff, you know, that's going to be tightened up. I know that Bill Hader was on a talk show talking about how the director kept saying, like, you got to look scared, Bill. And he just does not have a good scared face or terrified face. And he's like, oh, I thought I was.
Weird.
So there might be some, like... some elements of just something. I'll be curious to see how Bill Hader looks.
I would think that Bill Hader would be very good at looking scared. I mean, the problem is he looks so hammy all the time.
Yeah. Well, he's probably trying to act realistic, and so realistic Bill Hader is a lot different than, like, Bill Hader trying to do a hammy impression.
Right. Well, maybe. Then again, I can't really think of Bill Hader as anything but hammy.
Have you watched Barry?
No.
Oh, man, you got to watch Barry. Listeners, you should watch Barry, too.
B-A-R-R-Y?
Yeah, it's on HBO. It's his project. He plays a retired assassin or a retired, sniper from the military that...
Bill Hader does.
Yeah, Bill Hader.
Okay.
And he's, like, an assassin for hire, but he...
Bill Hader is?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But he discovers a true love of learning how to be an actor, and he's truly awful at it. And it has Bill Hader, and it has the Fonz. What's his name?
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler in it, and it is a fantastic show.
Okay.
Anyways, but in that, like, he's much more of a serious actor in it, and it's, yeah, it's good stuff.
So it needs to be cut down.
It needs to be
from three down to at least 2.5 hours.
Hey, man, there's a lot of stuff in there. And if they're going into, like, the lore of
yeah, you've
of
read
that
the book.
World, they're going to need a lot of time to explain that. I haven't read the whole book. I haven't even read like half of the book.
Oh,
I started reading it and then I stopped.
Okay,
but I do know just from reading information about it that it goes into like some weird mythological,
yeah,
like stuff. Anyways, next is. Production is underway on Shudder's Creepshow.
Ooh, baby. Is this, like, is this a have to do with the George A. Romero, Stephen King Creepshow?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's a 6-episode season that will feature an adaptation of a Stephen King story, as well as segments based on stories by other award-winning and acclaimed horror writers, including... These are a couple of the names of
so I should mention to the audience, Creepshow is kind of a smorgasbord of short stories, short horror stories that follow the format of creepy, eerie comic books. So they're kind of what kind of tales would you call them? They're like they have a point.
I mean,
it's
kind of like a horror version of Twilight Zone
yes,
something like that. I mean, it's on Shudder. You can check it out. We did a review.
It's on right now.
I thought it was, wasn't it?
It says production.
The original
one.
Movie. I'm talking about.
I don't believe the first one is actually on Shudder right now. I think the second one is,
okay.
Which is decent, but not as good as the first.
Well, anyways, we reviewed it a couple episodes ago, so you can listen to that review. But
I mean, great movie.
It's a really good format to have, you know,
as a show
anthology around.
Yeah.
But here are some of the titles that'll be on the show. By the Silvery Waters of Lake Champlain, House of the Head, The Companion, The Man in the Suitcase, All Hallows Eve, Night of the Paw, and Bad Wolf Down. So a lot of writers that have been on The Walking Dead or writer of
Bird House.
So that look out for that on Shudder. That might be interesting. That's where this drop comes from.
Oh, you done it now, Jordy Verrill. You monkhead.
We can only hope that Stephen King is an actor in one of these.
Yeah, make some cameos.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so great. Another news item, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Is not only coming back as a movie, but Nickelodeon is bringing it back as a TV show.
That'll be neat.
Yeah.
I assume. Does anybody still have cable?
Like, who knows?
Like, I know you can pay $40 a month to YouTube and get, like, every channel ever. And who wouldn't do that? Like,
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, there you go. If you still watch Nickelodeon, you're like, hey... Where are all the shows that I used to watch? Well, good news. Yeah, it's coming back. I just found out about this. David Fincher and Tim Miller are releasing an animated anthology series on Netflix called Love, Death, Robots.
Who's David Fincher? Why is that name so familiar?
He's like one of the most famous directors in the world.
Yeah, but like...
You know,
yeah.
Seven and The Social Network.
Wow.
And Fight Club.
Oh,
and...
Jesus Christ. I love David Fincher.
Like, Tim Miller
you
is...
You named like maybe like the definitely three movies in my top 10.
Yeah, David Fincher's fucking fantastic.
Oh, okay.
And then Tim
Professionals
Miller...
Professionals here, folks. Professionals.
Yeah. Tim Miller, I think he was the writer on some of these great movies. I can't remember. Yeah.
You don't know who Tim Miller is?
Don't want you to tell me who Tim Miller is.
You
babe.
Fucking constipated idiot.
Tim Miller. Oh, he was the director of Deadpool.
Oh, well, he's got some great, at least one great title behind him.
Yeah, so he did Deadpool and Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah, so you didn't like Scott Pilgrim?
No, I didn't. Sounds like this guy kind of does comic book movies. You just named two comic book movies. I don't know. Scott Pilgrim was one of those ones that was so hyped by every trendy skinny jeans wearing shithead that I finally watched it and was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what you would recommend to me. All you people who like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much exactly what I expected from the trailers and stuff.
Yeah, me too, which is not fun, really. It's just, it's like the visual equivalent of a musical. It's just bull.
Anyways, Love, Death, Robots is an animated anthology series. It looks a lot like Animatrix. It has an Animatrix vibe to it.
This is which is kind of like Aeon Flux-ish.
Yeah. So it has a lot of the anime and a lot of, like, just different animation styles. It looked like there was live-action stuff in it, too, but it might have just been CGI.
You know, since the late 90s, since Aeon Flux and, like, the Max and, you know, the mid-2000s, like, the Animatrix kind of stuff, there hasn't really been anything to scratch that itch. That's a very specific niche, and it's a cool visual style and storytelling style. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, anime is way more available now than it was in the 90s, and I think a lot of that was just, like, stealing from anime.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes down to it, I'm not interested in watching, like, a huge series of anime. I just like them in little shorts.
Yeah.
Like, little stylized shorts or maybe a movie.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that'll scratch that itch. That comes out March 15th, so that's pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you with the whole anime thing. Like, I want to I've tried Full Metal Alchemist to get into that a million times. I've tried a bunch of different ones but really, like, the movies, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, like, these movies that are succinct and don't just stretch on for forever are so much more appealing. I just can't get into these long runs of just, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Story that just drags out forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, Jason Blum says that... Sorry, I called him Jason Blumhouse before. His name is actually Jason. I'm sorry, Jason Blum.
Mr. Black.
Jason Blum says that his Invisible Man remake will be a lower budget and character-driven. Thank God.
Yeah.
So, the story behind this, or even just I don't even know if it even really affects it, but did you remember how Universal was trying to revamp the Universal Monsters
yeah,
as its own movie universe?
Yeah, to compete with Marvel.
Because you got to have a movie universe now.
Right.
If you don't have a movie universe, you don't deserve to be in movies.
You're probably Universal.
Your movies are probably a piece of shit unless it has 20 other movies that lead up to it.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. It's just such a disjointed, like, dated idea not to have a movie universe, but to have a movie universe centered around Universal Monsters. Like, that could have worked. I don't know when that could have worked. I don't think can work.
There was a little bit of, like, crossover stuff, like monster versus monster stuff that has existed, but usually in, like, B-movies or things like that. They were never quite ambitious, but I mean, just shows me that Marvel, and it makes sense why, but Marvel is, like, the only one that can really pull it off. Many, many studios have tried to build around a universe, and it doesn't work because it's a movie studio that's doing it. And they just don't have the commitment to the characters or the storylines to do it.
The one admirable title that that kind of is attempting to do the same thing to a much smaller scale, but successfully, I'd say, is the Conjuring series, and that universe that encompasses the Annabelle and the Conjuring and the Nun and Valak and all these, like, that's a decent quote-unquote universe, but it's not even comparable, really.
Yeah, I mean, see, the difference is that those are just more ambitious sequels. Like, let's just spin off as many sequels as we can from these, from different time periods.
Well, yes, but if you take a look at The Nun or, well, maybe not Annabelle 2, but Annabelle, like, they're not just sequels. They are, and they're not just spinoffs. They are with it. They are a building a universe around this couple of shysters.
I mean, are do they ever cross? I mean, see, the difference is, like, with the Marvel movies, the point is that there's crossovers and each other's movies inform the plot.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Of the next one. Right. As opposed to, you know, a lot of the Conjuring universe is prequels and explaining, going into more depth about what was in the Conjuring movies.
Okay.
You know?
Let's talk about Paranormal Activity.
Okay, yeah. So Paranormal Activity was one that did that, and it was much more about expanding the lore of these sisters, but yeah. It was still just one movie series.
Yeah.
It's not,
right.
They're not different characters, or if there were different characters, the way they tied together was still like the sisters.
Yeah. It is impressive how much more, impressive the Marvel Cinematic Universe
is. And I think the reason for that is that Marvel, the actual company whose existence is owed to being able to write comics that can sell other comics. Like, I remember when I was still buying comics, like, you can't just subscribe to one series,
right.
it's superheroes.
It's integral, like, that you also get, for this month, you have to be signed up for the Hulk if you're doing the Wolverine, yeah. Or if you're doing the Amazing Spider-Man, you have to also be signed up for a Spectacular Peter Parker. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's because, like, you subscribe to this,
they inform this series, each other.
Like, well, here's a cliffhanger that doesn't get solved unless you buy this comic.
Yes,
of a lesser known superhero. You know, so I mean, they're very good at interlocking and related storylines, and they've got just a catalog of them that they know worked. I mean, they've got decades and decades of storylines that they said, we've tried lots of different stuff. These are the storylines that sold the most issues.
Yeah.
And so they can take those and be like, let's make a movie series about this. So they take Civil War. They take, well, what else did they take from
Age of Ultron?
Age of Ultron. I mean, all this stuff is just ready made to be put on screen with a little bit of modification. And the other studios that try to do it, like the Warner Brothers with the DC Universe, they're like, all right, our goal is to have the Justice League be like a movie like the Avengers. All right, so we got Superman and Batman. Let's just make a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And then they go, and then it just doesn't work, because if one of the movies doesn't do well, they pull the other movies that are planned. They're like, I guess people don't like superhero movies anymore.
It's interesting, because you have, on the DC side, you really do have some notable standout, like, you know, the Batman trilogy really far and away exceeds the quality of and the
artistry,
the prowess and the artistry of any Marvel movie by far, but everything else is hot shit.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, which would you rather have your occasional, like, a movie that actually makes a person.
Well,
like Heath Ledger.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that Marvel is true to the characters, and that they understand what works about the characters. And Warner Brothers is like
hit or miss.
Movie studio logic of,
yeah,
like, let's see. Well, that Superman movie didn't work. That means people don't like Superman. What do they like? They like Batman. Let's make Superman exactly like Batman, and then they'll like Superman again.
Yeah, then they put all the filters on the the Superman movie.
I mean, they made Superman basically like this morally ambiguous character that was super moody and Batman
like. But like Lex Luthor said, they were wrong. Was that Kevin Spacey?
I like that one. Everyone hates that one. I really like that one. That was the last like Superman movie where Superman was Superman.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyway, so that's the logic they use of like, the audiences don't like this anymore. Let's change it. As opposed to understanding fundamentally what the character is and what you can do with that. I mean, we're talking about this way too much, but when the first Captain America movie came out, the takeaway for me was, they figured out how to do Superman.
Yeah.
It's a totally clean-cut, all-American, goody-two-shoes, and they made it an interesting and fun movie.
Yeah, that's always been Captain America, has been Superman. Basically, yeah. He is Superman, and he's the leader. He's the good guy. He's the guy who is so good that he is known for. He is just good.
So, like, yeah, and it works in the Marvel movies because Marvel understands the character.
Right.
And how to use him. And Superman just hasn't worked for Warner Brothers because they just keep trying to be like, this is the most boring milquetoast character. Everyone hates Superman.
Well, because it's a Warner Brothers jam. It's not a DC jam, really. When it comes down to it,
exactly.
Warner Brothers pulls triggers and makes decisions, and DC is in the background with the IP.
And they give it to Zack Snyder, which has not an original creative bone in his body that just tries to
make carbon copies
of the comic books that he's making.
But he's good at that. Like, he is good at that.
Yeah.
Like, Watchmen, you should not take a bunch of...
Yeah, but they put him on new movies. Like,
right.
The Justice League movie wasn't based on any storyline or any graphic novel that Zack Snyder could be like, all right, well, here's my storyboards.
Yeah, you should not fuck around with Watchmen, but you should definitely fuck around with new, interesting ideas.
Yeah. So anyways, getting back to that, so Universal is trying to create their own Universal Movies universe, and remember The Mummy?
Yeah.
Well, that was it. That was their universe.
The one with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
about as much commitment as they had to it.
The start and end of the universe.
Yeah.
So it's a self-contained universe.
They did The Mummy, and I think they were going to use that awful, awful Frankenstein movie with, what's his guy? The guy that played Two-Face. This guy was Mormon, by the way.
He looks Mormon.
He went on a mission.
He's handsome.
Aaron Eckhart.
Eckhart.
There was that horrible, like, origin story of Frankenstein with Aaron Eckhart that was supposed to tie it in to it, and they just realized, this is hot trash. Let's never do this again.
Well, but at least kudos to them for realizing it.
So now Jason Blum is doing an Invisible Man movie and just, you know, making it simple and character-driven.
Keep it simple, make it sizzle.
And you know what? It seems like Jason Blum knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it does. There's a reason he is competing with A24 for producing high quality, low budget, great horror.
Yeah. Okay, so that's horror movie news. Oh, fuck. Let's do Kill Count.
Is that Angry...
King of all Badgers. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Thanks again for making that for us, almighty Badger. Kill Count is a game where I list a couple movies and David has to tell us which one has the higher death count in it.
You guys should play along at home. Try and do better than me. I doubt you'll do it because no one's quite as good at me at this game. So, yeah, I'm just saying.
So this round is sci-fi movies versus horror movies.
Okay.
I think I got some difficult ones on here. And some of these aren't super close.
How many are we doing?
We are doing 5.
Okay.
Number one.
Give it to me.
Transformers the movie from 1986, the animated movie.
Oh my god.
Which I think I have a VHS on the shelves right next to me. Yep, it's right there.
I believe you.
The gold series. Versus 1999's Sleepy Hollow by Tim Burton. Starring Johnny Depp.
I can't imagine that Sleepy Hollow. This is a weird pairing because it's been so long since I've seen Transformers, like decades, like probably 3 decades. I can't imagine there's a higher body count in Sleepy Hollow than in Transformers.
I mean, remember, Transformers is a child's movie.
It is a kid's movie. But, and then you got to figure how would you know if any of those little cartoon characters in any of those explosions died? And maybe it's just like one or two, because maybe all they're counting are the actual Transformers. Like, there is no collateral death. So
I think they are just counting the Transformers. Okay. I don't remember there being any human deaths in
With that in mind.
Sleepy Hollow, mind you, features a headless horseman that decapitates people.
Yeah, with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and say Transformers.
I'm sorry for myself, because you won.
Yeah.
Transformers, the movie, has 47 deaths.
Wow.
Sleepy Hollow has 25.
Jeez.
Transformers, the movie, was dark.
Was it?
For a little kid. You know how Optimus Prime is the ultimate leader and emblem of Transformers?
Yeah.
And is everyone's favorite Transformer?
Yeah, he's a semi-truck, of course.
Yeah. Opening scene, they kill off Optimus Prime.
Dang.
In like just a brutal fight between him Megatron.
Megatron. Wow.
Yeah. I think they show Optimus Prime with all the color leaving his body, the iconic blue and red, turning to gray, and I think he might turn to dust.
God damn.
Yeah, it's such a great movie. I really love Transformers, the movie. It's got a great soundtrack by, I can't remember now, but it's got The Touch, which is also featured in Boogie Nights. It's the movie, it's the song that Mark Wahlberg and Philip Seymour Hoffman. The other guy, John C. Reilly, has Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly singing the song from Transformers, the movie soundtrack.
Wow, I can't believe those two movies share a piece of music.
You got the touch!
Oh my god.
You got the power! Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually in the film or in like the deleted scenes for Boogie Nights. I'm pretty sure it's in the film, but like they actually show a lot more.
It would make sense if
scene.
It was in the film. Boogie Nights has a great soundtrack.
Yeah. But in Boogie Nights, it's Mark Wahlberg's trying to sing it and it's just hilariously bad.
Oh, okay.
Cause he's a porn actor trying to make it in the recording biz.
Gotta go back and watch that
movie.
He's
super coked up. Should do a horror movie talk on Boogie Nights.
Okay.
We could make a case for that. If Happy Death Day to You is a horror movie, I mean, Boogie Nights, you could,
yeah,
swing it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, you got one. Number two, one that's near and dear to my heart.
Because of poop.
The Running Man, 1987, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, versus The Mist, 2007 horror movie.
A great horror movie. If you haven't seen The Mist, you should, because while the effects are a little dated looking, even upon its release, it's a great, fun time that is good and fun. big words. I'm going to go ahead and say that anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it is going to have more deaths than something that doesn't. So I'm going to go with The Running Man.
Wrong.
Oh, man.
The Running Man has 41 deaths and The Mist has 46.
Oh, okay. The Mist has 46 deaths?
That's what it says right here on my paper.
Okay.
This is 2007. I don't know if that was a remake or not.
2007. No, yeah, no. It wasn't a remake. You're thinking of The Fog.
Okay.
The Fog has had remakes. The Mist is an original thing.
Yeah, I think I wanted to watch The Mist, but we rented The Fog. And I was like,
That's a bad time.
Yeah. It was not as good. All right. Number three. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, 1985, versus The Fly 2.
Oh, boy. The Fly 2. I can't say that I've seen The Fly 2.
I know, I haven't either.
Well, based on the fact that Mad Max is Mad Max and The Fly 2 is just about a guy who's a fly, I'm going to go ahead and say Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
You are correct.
Yee.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome has 12 deaths, and The Fly Part 2 has 8.
Okay.
It's only off by 4.
Yeah.
Next. Number 4, The Matrix, 1999, versus recently reviewed on Horror Movie Talk, Creepshow.
Okay.
The original Matrix versus Creepshow.
Right. I'm trying to think about Creepshow. So the first one had like the first story in Creepshow had like 3 or 4 deaths max. The second was just Jordy Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lunkhead. And
oh, you done it now, Jordy Virgil? You lunkhead.
And most of them were just like the last one with the cockroaches. That was just one. The Tide themed one, the laundry detergent themed one, was just like 1 or 2 deaths. So not very many. The Matrix, on the other hand, I mean, he's killing computer programs. I'm gonna say Creepshow. But I'm going to say they're really close.
You are wrong.
Dang.
Creepshow has 15 deaths, and The Matrix has 39.
Wow, what? I just don't remember any of that stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of collateral damage in The Matrix.
Huh.
I mean, that opening scene with like all the SWAT team and stuff.
Yeah.
I think there are some people that got taken out from that.
I tried to show my dad that movie. And my dad is like, he sits down and watch Westerns every damn day. So not like real heavy on the plot or anything like that. It's all like, it's time for a shootout. You know,
I just like John Wayne throwing people into the river.
Yeah. It's not even like movies. It's just like shows. Mm-hmm. So I tried to show him The Matrix and his eyes were so big. And right about, like, when they're, like, waking him up out of a bath, you know, out of that, like, this is your real life. It's, you're just a battery for a fucking, he was like, what the fuck? Like, he was like, no, I gotta get out. This is fucking with my head. Like, I gotta get out of here. Like, he just noped out and he never watched it again.
I remember so clearly seeing The Matrix in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Keanu Reeves' previous movie was Johnny Mnemonic.
Right. Oh.
And it was such, I mean, he had such a reputation for just bad, schlocky sci-fi by that point, that I was very, very much
braced.
Expecting Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah, very braced
level
for impact.
Sci-fi. And I don't even think I even really wanted to watch it, but it was the only thing out. I think it was like probably opening weekend and no one was in the theater, and I was there with my dad and it blew my mind.
Yeah,
that scene with the where he comes out, and I was immediately understood. I was like, oh shit, oh shit. Oh shit.
Oh like, shit. Yeah. You know, our mutual friend Justin, who has another podcast called How BJJ Works, I think this is his favorite movie. He talks about it a lot. And I mean, and I don't begrudge anyone who loves The Matrix. I love The Matrix. It's just a fabulous movie.
Right. Anyways, yeah, that was over double the death count in The Matrix versus Creepshow.
I was really wrong.
Okay, so you got two right, two wrong.
Yep.
Here's the tiebreaker. Number five. Who directed this? Michael Bay's The Island, 2005, starring Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson. Oh. Versus My Bloody Valentine 3D, that came out in 2009.
I haven't seen either of these movies. The Island is one of those ones that I have been like, I should watch that.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
Oh, really?
First of all, no, you shouldn't. The Island is a dystopian future sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's basically like The Giver. If you ever read The Giver. It's like all the emotions and sexual drive and stuff is taken out of people. Or Logan's Run. It's got a lot like Logan's Run, but it's made by Michael Bay. So lots of product placement, lots of explosions. Not very good.
Oh, weird.
But yeah.
Okay.
So going flying blind, you have to determine whether The Island, a action sci-fi by Michael Bay, more deaths than My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Yeah, you're really...
Which is an actual horror movie.
You're really touting the Michael Bay part of this in an attempt to get me to think of explosions.
Uh-huh.
And...
explosions can take out a lot of people.
Right. So now the question is that bait for me to say My Bloody Valentine? Because you're so obviously pandering to... my natural inclinations to say Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I'm going to go ahead and say your attempts have been fairly forward this game to get me to choose the other one. I'm going to say this isn't a double blind or this isn't a double psych. This is just a regular psych. So I'm going to go with My Bloody Valentine 3D.
All right, you got me.
Okay, good.
My Bloody Valentine has 24 deaths, and The Island has 12.
Cool. I ended up with a positive ratio. I hope that our audience can say the same.
Tell us how you did. I don't think anyone has ever told us.
my buddy Brad did one time, he messaged me out of the blue with just a number. It was like four. I was like... what would you say you're talking about, Brad? And he's like, I got a 4 on the thing, on the game we played. And I was like, oh, okay, good. Shout out to Biggin.
So thanks for listening. Please, again, share the podcast with a friend. Leave a review on iTunes if you can. That would really help us out. If you are interested in watching a bunch of great curated horror movies online for a low, low price, subscribe to Shudder.com and use the code HMT at checkout to get 30 days for free. If you're going to buy anything on Amazon, which, I mean, who's not going to, go to our website, HorrorMovieTalk.com, click through...
The link at the top of the page.
Link at the top of the page.
It's green.
And buy your stuff on Amazon that way. Special thanks again to the king of all badgers for helping us out with some... some audio cues.
Hey, I got a question for you. What are we reviewing next week so our fans can get a jump start on it? Do we know?
I don't.
Is it the killing the killing of a sacred deer?
I don't know. I think the basket case was playing at Kiggins on Friday.
Oh yeah,
we're thinking about that. I don't know if we still want to do that or not.
It may be Basket Case. It may be The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I mean, Basket Case isn't time sensitive.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we could watch it at Kiggins and then do it the week after.
Oh. Okay. Well, lots to think about. Potentially watch. Definitely watch The Killing of a Sacred Deer, because at some point we will release that episode.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening to this episode of Horror Movie Talk. Go check out Happy Death Day, definitely, if you haven't watched it. It's available on YouTube for rent. And if you've seen the movie, seen that movie already, go check out Happy Death Day to You. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.